Welcome back to Consider This with me, Melissa Idris and Sharad Kutin. We are joined tonight by Dr. Helmi Zakar, a panel member of the WHO's focus group on artificial intelligence for health. Now, Dr. Helmi, I think we've resolved the technical issues. Now, I'm just wondering whether you can go back very quickly. You were about to say that there were three principles that should be guiding the use of artificial intelligence when it comes to public health policy. Could you very quickly outline what those three principles are?
Those principles are, first of all, that it needs to be explainable, right? It needs to be explainable. And second one, it needs to be reproducible, and it has a very strong foundation on the subject that it's applied to. So in our case, for example, if you come up with a predictive model of outbreak, those models, it doesn't have a strong foundation and assumption of epidemiological link of COVID-19 and its mode of transmission. So it lacks what we call explainability. And when that happens, once we cannot explain it, we might be wasting resources focusing on the wrong place, or even worse, if we are going to use it for punitive measure, I think that's quite a slippery slope for arbitration of justice.
Well, that's very interesting, but and also begs the question, Helmi, about just data collection at all. I mean, we've had a year or so of this pandemic, and still people are filling up these ledgers. Has anybody picked these ledgers up? I mean, is data being inputted somewhere from these ledgers?
Well, and yes, I mean, you're very correct there. So one of the things that we must try to avoid when we build an AI algorithm is the fact that our data must be robust. So if the data set that we use to train the machine learning is not robust, or in this case, for example, right, the very fact that we only process or build the AI model using those data that is collected through a mobile app, it means then we have a blind spot of those people who doesn't have a smartphone, those people who have to register on a book, on the ledger, and this is actually quite an important cohort. For all we know, they are probably like this group of people have a different sort of transmissibility pattern between them. So building a model without having a robust data set will definitely lead to bias.
Right. We spoke to Dato' Ali Amir Ali Maidin just before we rang you, and he said that he believes the data of, you know, the places that was flagged by Hyde, for instance, that type of data used in predictive systems should be kept private, not made public to everyone. And I'm wondering where the principles of AI-based AI methods, what are the principles saying about this? Should data be made publicly available to everyone or just used for policymaking?
Well, I don't think at this point of time the ethics consideration of the application of AI in pandemic have reached that level of maturity. But if we can take a step back and how it is being applied, though, I think the committee have said that at the very first, what you need to try to avoid is basically bias, right? And so when you look into bias, for example, so you if you build the algorithm in such a way that it is skewed to one particular sectors or to one particular demographic, for example, we know the most well-known example of algorithmic bias is the facial recognition technology in the U.S. that identify young black males as criminal suspects, right, in comparison to other demographics. In our case, if we try to apply it on what we are looking at the moment, I personally don't think that it is a problem that should those place be identified. But it must be done in a fairness. It means like if those places are identified, then all the other places must also have the similar chance and likelihood of it to be identified as to have a higher transmission rate. Because, I mean, if you think about it, right, at the moment you have two scenarios. First, you have a mall that adheres to its SOP, and in turn, it requires that everyone to scan the QR code, and therefore we pick up any sort of transmission there. And then on the other hand, you have probably a school or a dormitory, and because of the nature of the premise, it might lack QR code altogether. and there's no data being pipelined from any of these places. So the aftermath is that because of continuous data stream from malls and other premises with good practice, they are more readily identified as emerging hotspots. So in the irony is that we basically punish the good player, and it might backfire. So if business and people know that scanning actually disincentivizes them, and not scanning might let them off the hook in the first place, I think they would consider why would they need to scan in the first place. Yeah, and I think that is the consideration that we have to put for now.
All right. Dr. Helmy, this is a fascinating topic and we must have you back on to discuss this further. But thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. But before we leave you, let me remind you that you can get all the latest news and information on COVID-19 vaccines at astroawani.com and the Astro Awani app. Thank you so much for watching the show tonight. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
We'll be back with you same time tomorrow. Till then, good night.